Welcome back again for another episode of SLMA Radio's Outstanding Outbound, an outstanding monthly program with our host, Marianne Vanilla, author and CEO of the Vanilla Group. Her program explores the growing field of outbound lead generation, particularly for large deals like yours. Program's brought to you by the Vanilla Group and right here on the Funnel Radio Network. So let's get things launched with Marianne. Hey, Marianne.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Okay. Where are you calling in from today here? Are you into your executive offices or are you out traveling in the road?
I am. No, I'm in my office today.
What are we going to talk about today here? Each and every week, you amaze me with the conversations we have about outstanding outbound in a world where I hear there is no outstanding outbound.
Yeah. You know, today I have a fantastic guest. I really want to talk about how customer experience starts with sales. A lot of my shows have been about, you know, what's not going on that should be and how things are being mishandled. And I really wanted to bring somebody in that is just a great example. And from a role model standpoint for sales reps to really look at what are people doing that works. And so I'm interviewing Michael Fox today because my company's actually worked with him in the past. And so I've got hands-on experience with how he deals with prospects and customers. And he really goes above and beyond to enable organizations to make it easy to work with him. And that's really key because I think that one of the things I see is just everybody's going a million miles an hour and we don't need a deal to get all these weird hiccups to accommodate the convenience of the sales organization that makes it hard to buy from them. So is Michael, he's conferenced in, right?
Yes, he is. He's eagerly standing by here. Maybe he's sitting. I don't know. Maybe he could be sitting. I don't know.
Or jogging.
Jogging, right.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon. Good morning, Marianne. I'm well. How about you?
Excellent. Really good. Yeah, you know, I was talking about when I introduced you how I really admire how you manage your prospects and your sales cycles. And I wanted to ask, like, in the last decade, what have you seen as the biggest change and challenge in the enterprise sales landscape?
Wow, the biggest. Okay, so the biggest challenge, I believe, is the fact that the buyers are much more and more educated. And frankly, they're much more and more predisposed to what they know.
Right.
And the challenge there is that obviously you're not going to argue somebody out of their beliefs, but
right.
Presenting good data, presenting good evidence, presenting good stories about what is different than what they've come to believe is really crucial.
Yeah. And that's a great point because they are more empowered. I remember years ago, you didn't have access to customers of certain platforms. You got that from the vendor. And now you can access that on your own, or you can access information on your own, and then you can form this whole wrong opinion on your own too. So yeah, like how do you unwind that? One of the things that I've seen is this huge spike in outreach. So a lot of it's automated, you know, a lot of it's not really constructed very well. What do you do to immediately stand out from that? So you've got this prospect that is educating themselves on their own, and they could be going, you know, off on, you know, to the left somewhere. But, and then how do you engage with that in a way that you actually get them to participate and listen to you?
I think the first thing is to be different than the automated contact.
Right.
To not just use a boilerplate, not just use a template, not just scattershoot, but be very specific.
Yeah.
And you know, if you remember, you know, one of the, you know, early proponents of sales motivational training, Zig Ziglar, is one of his most famous sayings is people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
That's so true.
And, you know, I mean, the fact that you and I spoke about doing this interview beforehand, frankly, this is a new thing for me. It showed me that you cared enough to make me comfortable that we were going to just, you know, do this today. And the reason you cared enough is because you want to have a good show, right? You want a good product.
Right.
So if you want a good product, why not make sure that the people you're talking to are aligned and comfortable? Frankly, an email blast, a Salesforce campaign, you know, a simple outbound for the masses, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, because you've got marketing, which is doing things like that, and that's fine. You know, it's making an imprint of the company name. It's doing different things. But once you engage with a person, it's like, it's got to be real. You know, I look at it like prospects are in this really super, you know, busy environment. It, you know, they may work in a very interrupt-driven environment. And so you have to kind of puncture that to be able to get them to listen to you. And I find that it takes a few times. I have found over the years, and this is still the case, if prospects aren't calling people back right away, they think, oh, they're not interested. And they think something's changed. But that's often not the case at all. It's just that they're busy and you've got to work a little harder. So once you have that kind of sticky relationship with them, so to speak. So once they know, oh, there's Michael. All right, I take his call. All right. They will prioritize you, but that takes a few interactions. I know that you really go above and beyond to research people, know what you're talking about. There's a lot of times people think, well, I'll research them after I talk to them and see if I want to invest in this. But that's just not the case anymore. You have to do all your prep work before.
I think you're spot on that the idea of dialing for dollars, being indiscriminate and not having something of value to offer in that very first interaction, that's a losing approach. There is no way to get somebody's attention if they simply think that you're trying to pitch.
Yeah, exactly. There's really two types of sales professionals that I see, is ones that do the work to develop themselves. They align with the changing landscape. You know, they've modernized. I know they've gone from, you know, depending on where they started, you know, maybe they used to keep more hard copies of stuff, and then now they're doing it in a CRM or in soft copy. There's ones that are really aligning to optimize what they're doing, letting the systems think for them. And then those that maybe go to training because the company paid for it, but they don't do a lot on their own. I know a number of years back, there was some study that Selling Power released that said that sales reps spend like $20 a year on their own sales training development. You know, so maybe they buy a book or something. You know, that's not enough. You've got to stay up with what's going on in your industries. You got to stay up with what's going on in your vertical that your solution addresses. And then you've got to stay up with modern sales behaviors of prospects and what they're responding to. Like, what are your thoughts about that? And how do you stay aligned with what's going on?
That's a big question, but maybe some of it goes to the fundamentals that I grew up with.
Right.
The fundamentals I grew up with is, you know, we talk about 10,000 hours to mastery, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the fundamentals I grew up with is you work for a living. You don't just, you know, you show up and you work for a living. The work ethic is crucial. And the work ethic doesn't start with the hours a day you spend, but how you spend those hours. And what are you doing to bring value to every interaction you have? So the first thing for me is to be able to use the tools I'm given. And the tools I'm given are the sales trainings. I've been through as many of us have, you know, at some point in our career, we've been through every possible type of sales training. I just went through one recently, and frankly, it presented new information, or at least it presented information in a different light where it resonated with me. None of it was, I'm going to say, transformative or completely off the wall, but it really did take the information I had before and allowed me to present more of a focus, more of an urgency. And more so get the customer buy-in. For example, I hear you responding with affirmatives. And if I'm not asking questions, how much do you think the customer is going to listen to me? That is one of the biggest transformative things in sales, is to be able to ask questions and ask the question after the question. There's always an underlying question after the first answer.
And especially now that we're doing so much of it remotely, because mm-hmm. I know travel was really common to go on-site and have a lot of initial meetings on-site. And some companies still do that. But most interactions now are happening remotely. And you may or may not have a video component to it. So you really have to keep them engaged in a different way.
Yeah, and to that point, there's two reasons, I think, for remote. Expense management is not the issue.
Right.
The big issue is sales velocity.
And, right.
You know, we talk about lead generation. Well, there are studies, I guess I've read, that a lead decreases in value as a half-life of like less than 24 hours. So the lead comes in on day one at 2 p.m. By 2 a.m., that lead is worth half of what it was worth. And by 2 p.m. the next day, it's almost worthless. point is that when a lead happens, when somebody has clicked on a certain number of links or requested a certain amount of information and they scored a certain threshold within a management system, that is the time to get to them. The challenge there becomes is you're so full of velocity that you haven't done any preparation. So how do you balance that preparation with velocity? Again, the tools, whether it's using one of the social media sites, or whether it's using one of the popular CRMs, whether it's using, frankly, local business journals and doing just a web search to find out the latest. I'll give an example. I've got a customer right now that had a change in management literally days before I was in first contact with them. And had I not known that change in management occurred, I would have been unprepared to address some of the things they're going through that change in management spoke to.
Right. Yeah, it really changes the entire discussion. And like one time when I was using a certain ISP and there was a storm that they had an outage and it affected me. And then like while this is happening and I've got a bunch of support tickets out there while this is happening, they call me to sell me more stuff. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding, right? It's like, are you not integrated with your support system? Can't you see that I have all these support tickets out there right now? So now is like the worst time in the world that you could call me to sell me stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a small example. You know, it wasn't like this big giant deal, but it's an example. So, hey, we're going to break for a commercial real quick. So hold on 1 second. We'll be right back.
Just a quick reminder that this show is brought to you by the Vanilla Group, a company committed to give back to their customers more than just great leads. Their objective is to deliver a customized strategic sales development solution that is sustainable. That's right. We said you can do it over and over again. The Vanilla Group solution is designed to invigorate your entire sales operation. They provide your sales team with new revenue opportunities and a continuous stream of ongoing selling activities. Achieving this mission is not easy, requires a partnership, and as your trusted partner, the Vanilla Group understands your objectives and goes out of their way to meet your requirements. For more information about this unique approach, just visit their website at vanillagroup.com. That's VanillaGroup, vanillagroup.com. I am so enthusiastic about what you guys are saying. And can I just spend a moment to emphasize one point and ask you both a question here? Forrester did a study that everybody quotes all the time here a few years ago that said, no matter what you're buying, big deal or little deal, by the time they come forward and identify themselves as a lead, as a prospect, they've already done their own research and they've weeded out everybody but one or two. You might never even get the phone call unless you do some sort of outbound. So it seemed like in that kind of world where people are forming their own opinions early on and doing their own research, right or wrong, and maybe excluding you without even talking to you, isn't it even more important to reach out to them and say, hey, before you decide, give us a chance to tell you our view?
Yeah, that's a great point, because a lot of the work that we do when we're calling into organizations, we find companies that will say, we thought, talking about our clients, so whoever it might be, and they'll say, we thought that you guys couldn't address this, or we thought you were too expensive, or whatever it is. And so the fact that we called them surfaced an opportunity that wasn't on the radar at all. And the vast majority of what we find are things that the client did not have visibility of, because it's going to more of an internal buy cycle than an external sales cycle. And so it's very different. And marketing automation has created some indicators, but in large enterprise deals, that's not always the case, because somebody's not going to be hanging around on your site so much if they already researched it or if they're favorable to somebody else. It just means that they're doing something else. So I wanted to ask Michael, how do you benefit from marketing automation? What kind of things do you find useful from a sales standpoint?
It's been really the probably biggest positive change in my life over the last 10 years is the growth of more intelligent marketing and the tools that the marketing groups use to underpin and to support the sales effort. And the marketing departments, you can look at vertical markets, or you can look at market segment, or you can look at market region. All those things are old school. but the ability to actually say, let's see one of our most likely prospect customers, and to take a look at your existing customer base, say these are the characteristics, and I'm not talking about size, number of employees, location, number of offices. You know, that's again old school. We used to do that with manual books back in the day, looking at NAIC and SIP codes, which are still relevant indicators. But if that's all you're using, and you haven't built a richer profile of that prospect base, then your salespeople are still pretty much shooting in the dark.
Right.
So, yeah, what I've appreciated is the integration of that level of effort that does present the salesperson with a basic framework for what that company is, what they do, what the changes are in their industry, who their primary competitors are, how they fit the profile of a company that might be like them, that's already one of your customers.
Right.
The other key thing that comes with it is being able to do references of existing customers. We have A and you're B, and you're trying to win the same business that A is, or maybe they're not in the same industry, but they're very similar in terms of their market segment
to
go after. And they'll know that when they're in a deal that, you know, that the B is in there, and they end up either having to integrate or cohabitate with B. And therefore, they've got not just your recommendation, but now they've got a second party and perhaps even the customer that they're going to or trying to reach to say third-party validation, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Well, it helps you to build a much richer buyer persona. And then you have characteristics that are outside of just the demographics of the company, but you've also mm-hmm. got some behavioral characteristics that you can really narrow your ideal prospect. And then you can also work around where they don't line up with it. I agree. I think that marketing automation shouldn't just run off in some black hole somewhere where it spits out a lead every once in a while to the team, but really help to identify what's going on in these accounts, and then sales team to be interested in that so that they can see what's happening. I always find it really interesting to see who's looking at stuff, and those are indicators in itself. I wanted to ask her, if you were going to mentor someone entering into sales, what are some of the key things that you think that they should really understand? And I know we talked a little bit about that with caring, but like, if what would you say are some things that they need to do every day, every week?
Yeah, there's an old saying that everybody has to prospect. Everybody mm-hmm. hates prospecting, and then everybody hates prospecting, and everybody has to prospect. So you have to prospect. Nobody likes prospecting. You have to prospect.
Right.
And that's the whole cycle. You know, there's nothing without prospecting. There's nothing without building relationships. There's nothing without being out and getting social and being in front of people. One of my favorite sayings is that if you're not talking to a customer and you're a salesperson, you're unemployed. You're unemployed at the moment that you're not talking to a customer. The first thing is look at your selling day, whether your selling day is, you know, 8 to 6 or 9 to 5 or 12 to 9, whatever it is. That selling day is your only unrecoverable commodity. If you're not maximizing that selling day, if you're not talking to people, if you're not communicating, if you're not learning during that day, then you've lost the day and you weren't employed for a big part of that day.
Yeah, and that's a great point, because a lot of times you can get sucked into a lot of busy work or doing different things, mm-hmm. but you really need to talk with people. And I know with you too, you talk to your customers, you talk to, it's important to maintain that relationship. It's not just, okay, you inked the deal, I'm out of here. It's maintaining that relationship. And that's how people stay connected for years. That's how people continue to buy from us, no matter who we're with. I mean, it's building like real relationships with your prospects. And I think sometimes there's an element of that that's missing in just closing the deal and moving on. I sent you a note about class distinction, where sometimes a rep will call a prospect and they'll talk up to them. They'll say stuff like, oh, I know I'm bothering you, or I'm sorry for the cold call. And it's like, why are you opening this conversation with an apology?
That's right.
You know, it's a peer interaction.
Yeah, there's the thing I heard a long time ago, don't negotiate against yourself.
You know? Exactly.
Show up and be who you are, recognize your value, recognize you're there to help. And if you have value personally, if you know what you're talking about, if you know that you can deliver what you're talking about, if you know that the organization you support can deliver what you're talking about, you're there to help. You're not there to take. You're there to give.
Right. In conclusion, what words of wisdom do you have for today's sales organizations? I know you've seen a number of them. You've seen different types of leadership. Like, what do you think are some things that everybody could do and maybe some things that they haven't thought of yet?
I think the first thing to do is to recognize that sales is a service position. Sales is the service position that creates all the rest of the service positions. And to recognize that your responsibility to yourself, to your employer, and your customer, and by the way, I refer to those in a different order. If I take care of my customer, if I take care of my company, then I will be taken care of. And in that order. So what I think the first thing is to look at the service position as your underlying philosophy. The second thing is, okay, great, I've got this great philosophy, and a flat philosophy is at 10,000 feet. How do I bring it back to the ground? I learn what I need to learn. I practice the skills I need to practice. I measure improvement. I hold myself accountable to that. And I get feedback. And now the feedback most of us, you know, live or die by is, did I close the sale or didn't I close the sale? Look for incremental feedback. Am I staying engaged? Am I complying with the metrics that the organization I work for has set for me?
Right.
Don't fight the machine. Let the machine work for you.
Exactly. I totally agree with you. It's like, I look at it that if my clients are getting what they need, I'm good. Yeah, I don't have to. It's all about helping them to get what they need and work towards their goals. And that's the most positive impact that you can have on your performance than trying to close stuff and trying to make stuff happen that, where it's all about the deal, right? And it's just like where, like in my business, some people call and they just want appointments. And it's like, we just want appointments. It's like, okay, well, we talk to lots of people that are going to spend millions of dollars within, you know, 90 days or 6 months. And, you know, they don't want those. They just want appointments. It changes the whole dynamic of everything. It's not pipeline building. It's just creating activity. And so, you know, where there's an appointment and then that makes sense, great. But you're going to throw all this other stuff away and not even talk to them. So that's the thing that, you know, having that long-term thinking and understanding the big picture of how people buy stuff now. So, well, thank you so much for being on. I appreciate it so much, Michael. I know that you've got a great presence on LinkedIn and you do a lot of work in the community. And so, you know, I hope you get to connect with some great people. I'm sure you will through the broadcast. And I will hand it back over to Paul. Oh, do you want to talk about, do you have an account or anybody that you want to point people to your LinkedIn?
I think just the LinkedIn profile, Michael Fox in Northern Virginia. You can, you know, search by, you know, technology sales, but there's like six of us. If you want to look at, you know, sort of a specific LinkedIn profile, you'd find me under Michael Fox, not Mike, but Michael. And you'd find me under companies like Freecom, Metaswitch, Verizon.
Nice.
That should narrow me down.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you so much. I'll hand it back over to Paul.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to another episode of Outstanding Outbound with our outstanding host, Marianne Vanilla from the Vanilla Group, right here on the Funnel Radio Channel for at-work listeners like you.